Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Whatever Energy, I guess we call it, show. Tonight's guest is Randy Masters, who I'll have on in a second. And Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Show is coming from America, where Bush-led self-inflicted terrorism, creeping fascism, is practiced daily. Soon our troops will learn a new dance step called the Goose Step. And if you don't like the picture, you can be a guest on one of our shows. So anyway, we want one of the nicest things that's happened to us today, in case you didn't know about it, is Senate Bill 1959. And what it's going to do is take away our freedom of speech. It's already gone through the House of Representatives with a count of 405 for and 6 against, and it's about to go into the Senate. So after this passes, be careful what you say or you will go to jail. That's where we're at. Loss of freedom of speech. It's very interesting how this works, but this is how it goes on. And I just hope you'll all check it out. You can go to newstarget.com and look it up yourself. And you'll see that there's a particular stance in there that talks about how we're going to lose it. I've already seen the wording on it, and in one second I will read the wording on it if I can find it here. I've misplaced some of my material. And yesterday we had a great time. We were up at USC. We're going to be at the big game tomorrow against UCLA. I spent some time with Coach Pete Carroll, who used to teach at Esalen, where I used to teach, which was really interesting. And the whole consciousness of that team up there, they're one of the top teams in the top college teams in football, and watching and working with them is great, and they're really into what we do around here, especially at Pyridine. So we're going to be having some fun with them tomorrow and in the future, and we'll be doing some calling in later on once we get Randy cranked up here, you know. But it's just really, really amazing how this loss of freedom is taking place with the false flag operations that have been going on. It's just amazing. And a lot of shows like this will become under scrutiny, especially Alex Jones. He'll be a target because he expresses his views, and according to this new act, you can't do that anymore. Well, anyway, great way to start the evening. Now I'm going to bring on Randy Master. Look it up. It's H.R. 1959. Look it up. And look it up. Look it. Hopefully you'll get posted on the bbsradio.com website. But if you go to the newstarget.com, the switchboard for the U.S. Senate numbers are on there. Call them and complain, because this is, once again, we already have lost our habeas corpus right to defend ourselves in a U.S. court if we're convicted or even accused by George Bush of any kind of a terroristic act. That's already gone. And so now we're losing, you know, our freedom of speech. That's going right as we speak. So anyway, beyond the negative stuff, we've got some positive stuff. Sean David Morton was on last week, and I wrote a big article on how we're going to turn all this around using the projector technology. And the way that on this new book I'm working on, this article I wrote for his Delphi Associates newsletter, talks about quantum entanglement, which is the way our products work. And it's a whole different thing along with the hologram. We're getting scientifically involved now, and our operational frequencies of these devices that we've developed are also being used simultaneously now, slightly by the U.S. military. It's in the article. So anyway, I'd like to bring on my friend Randy Masters, who are now working with the hydrogen frequency stuff. We had a big smash the other night when we were on George Norrie talking about this. Sold a lot of product in that frequency. And by the way, I'll be with George Norrie tomorrow at the game. That'll be interesting. But anyhow, let me bring on Randy Masters. How are you doing, Randy?
Oh, good. Thank you, Fred. I'm excited to be talking to you tonight here.
Yeah, it's been a wild week around here.
Yeah, well, it seems like it has been in Washington as well.
Yeah. It's as we speak, I'll find a stanza that stands out here. It's kind of buried in this damn thing, but I'll find in a minute. So what have you been doing? You've been up in Santa Fe, New Mexico?
Yeah, at the second International Sound Healing Conference, speaking there about sound and sacred geometry, both. It seems most often now I'm speaking on both of those topics in conferences that are maybe primarily dedicated to sound, but that the geometry is being understood by more people as being integral in the way shapes and sounds work together. So it was very satisfying to feel that support for both of those topics.
Yeah, that's good. Let me just finish up the stanza. Here's the part of the Senate bill. Planned use of force to promote a political or social belief would be considered an act of terrorism. And the bill states, ideologically based violence means the planned use or threatened use of force or violence by a group of individuals to promote the group or individual's political, religious, or social beliefs. That's pretty heavy stuff. So anyhow, I just want to throw that in, go look it up. And now we're back to sound, because sound is definitely, you know, we got a new light series. We got the Apollo lights. We found that 460 nanometers of light, of blue light, shining on the body 50 minutes a day allows people to come off of reuptake drugs and SSRI drugs. And I really think, you know, that, you know, along with this light therapy equipment that we're getting into now, I just took on a contract to sell it along with your sound stuff. I think we're very powerful. I think we can start really pulling people out of big pharma, you know, big pharma's influence of these horrible MOA inhibitors and SSRI reuptake drugs. And basically what happens is, my daughter was over here from England. She was stressed out. She's only 20. And I played the sound for her. She loved it. But what happens is people under stress don't produce enough serotonin in the brain, which acts like a vibrational friction reducer in the synaptic junctions of the brain. And what happens is if they don't produce enough, when they get under stress, the stress energy goes into their body and it gets stuck there and they can't release it. So they give these SSRI reuptake inhibitor drugs so that when the serotonin goes into the brain, it doesn't go out again, and then it gets some more comes in and it gets trapped. But the problem is then you get too much and it's not modulated with the frequency of the person and they go insane. They kill people. The side effect is homicidal ideation, which means I'm going to shoot myself or kill myself with somebody else. And a typical example today by that was that Hillary Clinton up in the New Hampshire chapter of her, you know, election committee holding hostages, a guy up there that was twisted because of this problem. So I think that sound is a big, big thing in this whole situation. Remember, the Pleiadian light ships are sound-powered, light-separated. And I remember in my conversations with Semyasi back 20 years ago, she always said, sound comes first. Sound-powered, light-separated. And so the separation from sound is the downside of it, but Randy Masters is the sound generator.
Well, those words are exactly the philosophy that I teach, you know, and when I go back into creation, it's sound first and then light, and sound first, light separated to me is exactly the order when they said, you know, let there be light. To me, what you just said is a more contemporary and clearer articulation of what that means.
Yeah, but remember this. When they said, let there be light, saying who said, it was after the sacred word of creation.
Yeah.
That came secondarily, remember?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, so tell us what's going on in the sound world.
Well, one of the things that I'm actually working on this weekend, I'm teaching a workshop with my partner, Jan Sircone, on the Mary Magdalene and the Divine Sacred Feminine Mysteries. And one of the aspects that I'm introducing to people is the resonances of the different sacred numbers that have been used in Hebrew and Greek texts that are resonant with the unified field. And a lot of these numbers have deep implications in terms of physics and the physics of creation. And that's usually not talked about in any of the books. You get the numbers and they say that it is important in the field, but they don't often get down to the specifics. So I'll be playing certain sound frequencies that resonate with various types of numbers, and these numbers are encoded in many, many of these sacred documents. So in other words, the through decoding the numbers, we actually get into the creational science.
Right. No, I understand. And in my next book, I've been doing the research on it, where I'm going into the string theory and superstring and the DNA and how it forms. And these fields, they're called torex fields, which are down amongst the prime of the prime numbers, that when they vibrate, it's sound. And these things would be under Planck's constant to the size of the, you know, of the universe at some point when it was creation, which is like 10 to the minus 36, very small size. And this is where sound actually starts, because when the Big Bang occurred, it was an explosion. You know, and obviously it was an explosion of light and energies, and of course it would have had to have been a sound. Definitely would have been a sound, right?
Well, I took that
hydrogen atom.
I think that that's definitely where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And it seems like every time we play any of the sounds converted from the hydrogen wavelengths and the hydrogen harmonic collection of frequencies, people stop and say, "Now, what is that?" Sometimes I'll have several different chimes to play, and invariably when I play one of the hydrogen notes, people stop saying, "Oh, what just happened?" And something different happened to them than they're used to.
Yeah.
Because I believe that, you know, those hydrogen frequencies talk to everything in the whole unified field.
Yeah. I'm going to take one of these hydrogen sound generators up to USC next week after the game. Obviously, I couldn't get too heavy with them yesterday. Although they've been exposed to my work for a while, yesterday was the big contact. But I couldn't, you know, they got the big game against UCLA, their rival. It's the game of the year in the Rose Bowl. So, you know, because of that, or coming up to the Rose Bowl, actually. So because of that, I couldn't really explain this to them. I'm going to actually take that hydrogen generator up there and play it for Coach Carroll, Pete Carroll. And he's like, you know, he's very high. This guy is incredibly high in frequency. He actually looks a little bit like you. Very thin, very good-looking guy, but he's high energy. And he was throwing balls out there 100 yards to different wide receivers like a quarterback, and he was the coach. And so I'm going to be introducing sound technology to the football world. Because a lot
How long do you think it would take before you could produce the visuals for the 34 spectral lines of hydrogen, so that when people heard the tone, they could get that exact wavelength of color, and somehow they could see that and get that into their field?
Yeah. What happens is, when we were talking about training, I was working yesterday with one of his new trainers coming on board, a guy named Sean Brawley. And I'm sending him a book, the Rays of Truth book. And Sean was telling me, yeah, he took over. I guess there was a book written, I forget the famous guy that wrote it, about tennis, like the Zen of Tennis or the Magic of Tennis.
The inner game of tennis?
Huh?
The inner game of tennis?
Yeah, yeah. So he's taken over. I guess the guy's pretty old, and Sean's young, and he wants him to run the whole trip. And Pete Carroll and Sean are good friends, and Sean and I are becoming friends. It's all about family. But the bottom line was, we were talking about, like, a guy would kick a ball, like with the kicker. You know, sometimes in a football game, at the very end, the score is even up, or it's in overtime, and they're down there for a field goal, and if the guy, the kicker, misses it, they lose the game, you know. That's a big, big responsibility. Well, these kickers have, he's talking to one guy the other day, and he said he was kicking off to the right. So his approach was, well, you know, he got his field, Sean's field got into the kicker's field, and he said, well, we know he can kick it to the right. Why don't you try kicking it to the left? You know, reprogram this kid, you know. Because these kids are only 19 years old, 20 years old, 18 years old. So then the kid finally deliberately tried to kick it off to the left, and he did that. And he says, well, you know how to kick it to the left, you know how to kick it to the right. Now try kicking it in the center. And the kid actually did it, and he became a kicker. But bottom line, I was explaining to them, that's good, but what if we expose them to sound healing first? Before you even have that conversation, listen to this sound.
Mm-hmm.
Let this sound fulfill your energy field, then have that conversation. And they're real excited to hear that. They said, yeah, you know, this could be a... And what's really happening here is that it's the quantum entanglement of the electrons of your aura versus theirs, and theirs is displaced because they're entangled with something that's causing them to, you know, kick to the right, and yours is showing them, that you're making them aware with your entangled fields with theirs, that they kick to the left, and then they make their own realization they can kick to the center. So by supplementing that with sound, it can get really, really interesting. And realize that in the late experiments like Alain and some of these other scientists, they have found out that this quantum approach, measuring it with photons and different particles, happens instantaneously at any distance. And that's been proven now. And I wrote about the improvements in that and blah, blah, blah in that article I wrote for Sean, which I'm going to put on my website soon.
So sound, well, I know the Russians,
where people can absolutely, using the quantum method and the sound method, change their lives probably within the space of 2 or 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Break all those heretical bonds of past lives. You know, the example I gave to Sean Broly yesterday was, you know, you take a family that the grandfather was an alcoholic, the father was an alcoholic, and now the son is becoming an alcoholic. But what if the son woke up one day, or the daughter, and decided that I will never drink. I won't have this alcoholism problem. I will break the genetic code, and so my kids won't even have the tendency to, you know, become alcoholics. So,
well, I like what Bruce Lifton's been talking about, at least this aspect of his work, in terms of it's in the field and not bound in the genetics on such a strict law, and that as you change the field, you change the resonance, and then the DNA then responds.
Oh, exactly. That's my point. And that's,
yeah,
my point is with that is that get sound involved, and it changes a lot faster automatically. You don't even have to worry about it.
Absolutely. And,
yeah,
and not have to spend the rest of your life processing the lives you've already lived.
Exactly. And that's the karmic trap that everybody's in. But when you look at the hologram, remember, when you take a hologram, every piece of everything is in it, and then it's an interference pattern. You know, if you were to make a hologram of a butterfly, what you would do is you'd photograph it with a laser directly at it, and then you take that photograph and develop it, and then shoot the laser at the photograph at right angles, and the interference pattern would create a three-dimensional image. Then if you broke up that photograph into four pieces, each one of those four pieces would be complete with the whole of the original. And so therefore, there's no time. There's zero time. So if you can go in and make a transformation by entanglement through sound, which is no big deal, you instantly fix the problem because the hologram doesn't see time. So the heritage is gone. The whole heretical system is absolutely gone in a microsecond.
Well, going back a moment to what you were saying in terms of working with the athletes, the Russians have been doing a lot of work with their athletes and with their astronauts. And one of the areas of success they've had is playing the different frequencies they've researched from Hal Katzper.
Right.
I think we mentioned it before, but what was interesting to me is the Katzper in octaves of 25 hertz, 50 hertz, 100 hertz, and those are all lower octave harmonics that resonate with that Palladian beamship tone.
Right.
And also, the 25 hertz is supposedly is the key resonant frequency of the mitochondria. So I find it interesting when cats are doing their healing work and sitting on somebody on their lap or somewhere on their body and purring and creating a healing, that now they're doing this through devices that they've created to deliver those same kind of frequencies.
Oh, I think that's really cool.
And getting, you know, outstanding results from what I've heard.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Things that, you know, I'm doing this weekend with the Divine Feminine part that I think relates in the sciences is, my basic premise is that a lot of the solutions in science in terms of how creation actually works will only fully be embraced and rediscovered when the feminine is understood and embraced fully. And by not embracing that, humanity has tried to control nature by, in a way, being afraid of some type of separation. And when they push the goddess and they push the feminine out of the equation, they can no longer see how the creation is fully operating until the time when the feminine is brought back into the equation.
Yeah, I agree, and that's been the big problem for a long time. And we do muscle testing because the feminine energy is the yin energy, and that's represented by a pyramid upside down. And when I test somebody with a pyramid on their head, as you see me do it, the pyramid right side up is the male energy, which is the yang energy, they test strong. As soon as I invert the pyramid on a male or a female, and the testum is, you know, upside down, they become quite weak, you know. That's why on the nuclear receptor, you have pyramids right side up and pyramids upside down to condition their energy into, you know, I would call it like the Star of David, or the, you know, the star that's right side up and upside down. When you look at the right, you know, pyramid in two dimensions, pointing up and pointing down, it forms what they call the Star of David. That's nothing to do with the Jewish religion. It's just a fact that that's the pattern that forms.
Yeah, that's the upward male triangle and the descending female triangle.
Right. And
creating that sacred union of the two.
Yeah, and I find women especially Mikkel, for example, when she hears that chime, you know, that hydrogen frequency chime, she just goes crazy. I mean, she could be stressed out, and it does that to women. It does it to men. George Norrie liked it, by the way. The other night we did it on the Art Bell Show. He liked it a lot. He really liked it. But women just go crazy over it because it's already their female energy anyway, you know.
Well, what I'm looking to have activated is the feminine component that's in males that needs to be woken up.
Exactly.
So that they can have those responses and not have to trade their body in for a female model. They can still have a male outward appearance as their spacesuit, but that inner female has to get activated in a way that is in consort with the male part in their inner world.
Yeah, I agree with that totally.
What do you have any ideas of what the Pleiadians say about that? I know, of course, they work with horticulture and work with plants as a way of experiencing the divine, but do you have any thoughts relative to science and the feminine from the Pleiadian perspective?
Yeah, well, first of all, the Pleiadian men are more female, obviously, than terrestrial men. That's accepted, you know, in their society. They still have arguments. I mean, they still have a male stance. I think it's part of the genome of the male, you know, persona. But that doesn't matter whether you live 1,000 years or 50 years. It's part of the persona of the sex separation of gender. But Pleiadians definitely have said for years that the problem on Earth is the lack of female expression here. You know, which I agree. I mean, yeah, wars were fought over women. But it was fought from male to male, you know. You know, you don't hear too often, occasionally, you know, a guy goes out with a girl, and the girl's married, and the husband comes and beats up the guy. You don't hear the other thing around where a guy goes out with a girl, and the girl and his wife comes up and beats up the girl. It's always the male-male ego transfer that causes the violence or the confrontation. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm seeing that a majority of the problems in the world, including all the problems of pollution, all come from this separation illusion relative to the male-female.
Right. And
every single one of them.
The hologram, once again, is an illusion. Everything is an illusion. And when you get out of the ego, which is just your interpretation of lameness of it, then you get to see with great clarity what's going on. So you've gotten out of your own ego, so you can see that. But it takes time to see that, and I think, you know, I mean, you talk about the misinterpretation or the misplacement of energy, that money is the third ray, it's energy, you know. The female, you know, money is green, it's the Holy Ghost, it's a female energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's displaced. And when you see like people like Britney Spears and a lot of these, you know, female and male rock stars, they make huge sums of money because they get huge amounts of now female energy, the money, Holy Ghost. But it comes like that; they can't handle it. But it's interesting; they get that over gratification of the third ray through the performance of, i.e., sound, music.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think about it like that?
No, I hadn't thought about it.
You know,
I hadn't put it together that way.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can see there's an over gratification. So you got to find a balance between a rock star and a listener. You know, to get
my approach to
the bottom line is the whole thing comes from third ray money sound. You know, yeah.
My general approach to the financial world in terms of particle physics is there was a book written in 1910 by Wallace T. Waddles called The Science of Getting Rich,
right,
which people could download from just scienceofgettingrich.net or .com or one of the dots.
Yeah.
And it's about a just less than 100-page book, and he says in each chapter summary that there's a particle field, basically, that you can impress thoughts into. And when you impress thoughts into that particle field, then those particles will become according to the nature of the thought. And it's an infinite field,
yeah,
which in a lot of ways goes along with the Christ story of teaching the fishing story, which has certain sets of magical numbers, which I tell as a quantum or as a science story,
right.
The science of abundant resources. If you know how the science of creation works, you'd never run out of fish in that story. There were like 153 fish, and you take 1 cube plus 5 cube plus 3 cubed, and that adds up to 153. So as you apply the appropriate true creation principles to that number, the number never depletes
right.
on that level of the story. So what I like with Wallace D. Wattles is he's talking about this field where all the resources are there, including if humanity needed more of a certain resource, we could go into that field and create that resource and keep generating that resource. And there's not like a finite number of trees or a finite amount of oil. I hate to use that expression, but in one way, if the Earth needed more oil to lubricate its shock absorbers for the earthquake faults, we could literally reach into the particle field and regenerate the oil for the Earth and not need millions of years of dinosaurs and plants.
No, that's very true. And once again, that's quantum entanglement and materialization and teleportation, because you're actually teleporting an element into a void where what the element once existed. And that's quantum entanglement. And the whole thing that sound does is align you up to make that possible.
Glenda Green wrote this book, Love Without End, where supposedly Yeshua, Jesus, came to her and spent, you know, a number of months at her house, and she was painting some portraits of him and interviewing him. And he had some amazing discussions about science. And one that I liked a lot was a whole chapter called The Adamantine Particles,
right,
which he said were the smallest particles that could no longer be divided any smaller, and that they were commanded, not controlled, but commanded by love.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could get into that kind of framework and talk to the particles, again, this is like what Wallace T. Wattles is saying.
Yeah, that's what we're doing now. That's what our technologies do with the projectors, and that's what makes the highway work with the sound, because the sound is the, I guess there's the best way, here's a good way to describe it. This is what they did in the laboratory, right? You have a beam of light shining into a tube. There's two holes, a beam of light, two holes, and a backstop, you know, in a box inside. You shine one beam of light through one hole. Well, in quantum mechanics, what happens is light goes through that hole, but simultaneously, even though it's aimed at that hole, it's also going to the other hole simultaneously. It's creating a field behind the hole, that field's backing out, creating waves. So in quantum science says that the quantum particle went through the first hole, it simultaneously went through the second hole, it simultaneously created a wave, is a particle and it's a wave at the same time. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So now if you take two people and you have two quantum particles and you have two characteristics for each particle. So you have Joe shooting two particles in the box, and you have Sally shooting two particles in the box. Well, what happens is one of Joe's particles has similar characteristics to one of Sally's particles. The other particle of Joe's is completely him. The other particle of Sally is completely hers. The moment those two particles that are similar connect, it creates what's called quantum entanglement. Okay, that means instantly that they can communicate intelligence by the connection, the quantum connection. This is how teleportation has been demonstrated. Okay, but if they have the connection connected now, what happens is, let's say that now they've made a connection that's beyond the speed of light, and Sally's on one part of the universe and the other, and the actual thing that's going on in the laboratory is the spin of the electrons are one's going left to right and the other's going right to left, and there's four electrons involved. As soon as I change the spin of one of Sally changes her spin, on the joint particle of the other guy, then what happens is his simultaneously. So now you can predict that there's a change going on, but you can't send any intelligence. You can only predict the change. So what happens is, because if you look at the four particles, the process of looking at one of the four particles kills the whole connection. It destroys it. This is quantum mechanics, how it works. But now let's say that a third person, James, comes along with a hydrogen generator, and he generates a sound to Sally. She hears the sound. She doesn't know what the sound is. She instantly transmits the sound by this quantum entanglement to her counterpart and George, and now he can hear the sound. That's how quantum mechanics works. With our holographic projectors, you can set up the connection, and now you use the sound to transmit the intelligence, because you can't. The intelligence doesn't transmit quantitatively through the connection, but the connection's there. So now the intelligence is instantaneously done. The military is looking at that right now for satellite transmission. It's going into quantum computers as we speak, and of course we're using that technology here, and we're using your sound as integrated accordingly. And that's how this works, and it works very well. And we're really fine tuning this now. You know,
are you familiar with the Larmor frequencies?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, go ahead. And
where they've got the charts where they've logged what the radio signals are that come out of the nucleus of all the different elements in the periodic table.
Right.
And I studied that quite a bit. And it's like, in a way, a harp, a little harp instrument inside the atom,
yeah,
giving out sound. I mean, that is clearly and scientifically music of the spheres.
Yeah.
With no argument. I mean, there were several studies done of this. Every single element and what sounds those elements emit. Now, I'm curious.
That Pythagoras, you know, was very heavy. He thought the whole universe was created up on sound. And Pythagoras' theory, and, you know, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, you know. It's like that's what we're talking about here. He just didn't understand the quantum part of it. But, I mean, it's so basic. But it's so real.
Do you have any sense of this new planet, Nibiru, if we call it that, or the 12th planet, or Planet X, let's say, as it's approaching Earth, that it would change the gravity such that the periodic table will shift in some way?
I don't think that the periodic table will shift, but what I think is this. In quantum transformation, part of the thing that happens is dealing with a particle called a boson, and we're dealing with dark matter. Now, what I have found out in my research is that when you perceive, like, just take a photon, and they use them in entanglement. If you look at a photon, you're perceiving light. The only way you can perceive light, you know, and like a vision of something that's occurring in light, is to ground it into dark matter and to oscillate, to vibrate in the exchange of the observation in dark matter. And remember, with dark matter through the boson, that's where mass comes from. So we obviously have mass, so obviously we have dark matter in our bodies. The quantum people, the cosmologist says we're 72% of the universe is dark matter. So if we're grounding light through our eyes, through the photons in the dark matter, the excitation field produces consciousness, you know, in the hologram.
Mm-hmm.
So when you produce consciousness in the hologram, sound has to be remember, we're dealing with a photon, which is light. Dark matter, obviously, is the root of the energy of sound. And the harmony, the frequency that generates, becomes like a DNA thing and becomes a human body. And actually, a human becomes that because of this. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. A friend of mine used to call that part of nature the night side of nature.
Exactly. And we have to look at that because physics is taking a hard look at it now. And I'm starting to, quote a lot more physics. Because remember, I started out at 13 years old as a nuclear physicist at the University of Michigan on a government grant. And I went away from that field for a long time. But now I'm finding myself drawn back to it because cosmology is finally putting a consciousness in the experiment.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly where it's at.
Yeah. And they're doing it in entanglement, saying when you observe this entangled situation, you're killing part of it. And when you do that, they're going to have a demonstrable result, which they're getting, like Alan Ing got, you know, and a lot of other guys got. So
that merger of science and spirituality, I mean, it's never designed to have been separated.
No, never
it's
was.
It's insane to even consider it separate.
No.
So the sciences, as people are waking up spiritually, become very exciting to study. It's not left brain. It's whole brain. It's whole being.
Right. I think it's exciting.
Well, do you going back for a moment now,
yeah,
at the idea of this approaching planet or a large celestial object, what do you think will happen in the sound with
well,
the approach?
I think what happens is, because this planet is, here we go, it's a dark planet. You don't see it because it always runs in the shadows of celestial bodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always, so what is that saying? Dark matter. Okay? So I'm saying, you know, everybody gets afraid. Oh, I don't want to go in a cave. Again, I want to be out here in the sunlight. Well, half of us is sunlight. We need it for expression of consciousness because it produces lots of serotonin and melatonin in the body. But at the same time, we need the darkness of the cave to meditate. We just went down to, you know, Kentucky and Arkansas, and it was wonderful being in those dark caves, you know, when they turn our lights off and everything for 5-10 minutes.
Mm.
It's a great experience. Because then when you go in the darkness of the cave, and you come back out in the light, the light's so much better, you know, it's so much purer. You can sense the vibratory frequencies of violet through 402 nanometers to 850 nanometers. You can sense it. You feel it, you know. You dance in it. Whereas before, you just took it for granted. So it's like, you know, the old thing I used to do up at the Century City when we had a health club there. We used to do a sauna, and then we'd jump in this cold water. It was called the Turkish ice plunge. So we come out of a sauna sweating like crazy, 120 degrees, and jump in this water that's like 40 degrees. And boy, does that wake you up. And you don't feel cold, you know, because you're already too hot. And you jump in that Turkish ice plunge, and you feel wonderful. You don't feel the temperature difference. You just feel the excitation of consciousness. And so I think that this dark planet is coming in here to make us, to our awareness, to the dark side of the universe, not meaning Darth Vader, but the dark side, the grounding
yeah.
side, the side that we actually came from anyway, and it makes us appreciate the light that we've evolved into.
That's
so
beautiful.
It's an evolution, evolution, you know, scenario in my mind anyway.
Well, how did you isolate that 416 nanometer blue? How did that occur
that
to get that
done,
particular?
464 nanometer blue was done by a group at Apollo Sciences.
Was it 464? Was that the number?
Yeah, 464 nanometers.
Okay.
That's the frequency that you pull off the sunlight to create the right amount of melatonin, serotonin, and the calcium. Assimilation of the calcium goes up because it produces vitamin D. That's the frequency. We're selling these light generators to do that now for depression.
Mm.
And it's amazing. Like 35 to 45 million people in America are depressed, and this will help them. So I'm working with this company that has these things. Now we're going to integrate sound into this, and it's going to be one heck of a fix, you know.
Well, I've done a lot of looking at various wavelengths of blue light and the nature and profound nature of blue light.
Yeah,
various different shades. And I'm very curious about what the wavelength of the corona around, or the ring around the Milky Way is, which they found is blue. I wonder what the wavelength of that is. Do you know?
I think it's in that same range. Yeah, because, you know, you get down into violet. Violet really starts about 402 nanometers and goes down 405 to 402. And then it goes invisible because it goes into the dark matter spectrum.
Down around 3,600 and something in the Balmer's theory, still being visible.
Yeah, yeah. And in the Balmer theory, you know, the Balmer's, even though it was 100 years old since Joaquin or Jonan Balmer lived, is a very up-and-coming discussion now, again, in the cosmology. His work is getting looked at some more. You know, it's really interesting seeing how the field has gone back to those. And there was two other guys that worked in that time frame that did sound work along his lines, but he was obviously the most famous for it.
Now, are you using lasers? And what different forms are you using to convey that wavelength of blue?
Oh, in lasers, we used to use a helium cadmium laser for the 402, 405, but now there's some solid state lasers coming out of actually made in this country, and I've hooked up to a company in Florida, and we've been selling a few of them. They're pretty pricey, because they're coming out of a photodiode, you know, and then And then, of course, the green is used to be very expensive. It's cheaper now. That used to be argon. Now it's no longer argon. It's just a solid-state device. And, of course, the red's been around forever, which originally was helium neon, you know. But now, of course, it's solid-state.
Well, what are you using to convey the 464? What form of light delivery do you use?
Oh, just a blue light. We use in the light boxes. Okay, in the light boxes, we have a special diode that's made just that, you know, these LEDs?
Yes.
It's like a panel of LEDs, like about 12 inches high by 12 inches wide, and it's proven that the American Psychiatric Society Division or whatever has put the blessing on it. The FDA's not making a comment on it because they need more, but they're not just saying, they're just saying we know something's there, but we don't want any claims made on it, especially because, you know, Big Pharma is there and it's going to throw their drugs right out of the street, so we got to be very careful on that level. But we don't make claims on it, but that's pretty much how it's done with LEDs. Yeah.
Well, later I can give you the sound frequency for that. It'd be very interesting if coupling the sound delivered in a number of different forms along with light like that, what the enhancement might be with the two working in consort together.
Yeah, we could put a speaker in this box. It should be on the front page of my website by tonight. They're working on it right now, putting it up there. But I can talk to the company that makes this because I have a relationship with the guy that, you know, one of the head guys over there now. And we could probably couple some sound up to it, too. But I really think that people should be, you know, that we haven't put the wind chimes up yet. And we've got the one of the products that you make is the tuning fork.
Yes.
And like, I've got one here right now that the first one you ever gave me, and I use it all the time. I just stick it up to my ear, and it just elevates me right away to a really high-frequency place. It's really cool.
Well, you'll be getting a whole bunch of them coming up this week. I developed a whole scale based on the resonances of the King's Chamber.
Yeah, tell us about that. You've got a lot of new products you're working on, I know.
Yeah, it's kind of all, it comes in bunches. Sometimes they all go off at the same time, you know. So, you know, when the channel opens, you know, everything comes through like the floodgates.
Yeah.
But building on 125 hertz, which is the main resonance of that chamber, and then a ratio of 16 or over 15 below that, which is a certain kind of half step. They call it diatonic half step.
Right.
You get the resonance of the cavity inside the coffer. Then when you subtract those two, you get the Schumann resonance, the 7.8125, which is the lower octave of that Palladian ship.
Right.
Fundamental tone. And the 117.1875 is the frequency, exact frequency, of the resonance inside the coffer. And the ratio between those two is the same ratio as the base length of the Giza pyramid and then the second pyramid. They're in a ratio, the bases are in a ratio of 16 to 15 to each other.
Okay.
So it's interesting that the structure of the building and the frequency of those two resonances in the King's Chamber is the identical mathematics. You see a lot of that in the Egyptian redundant encoding showing you this is exactly what they mean because they keep giving the same signals over and over in different rooms and different measurements.
Yeah.
So then I developed an entire scale based on just intonation whole number ratios that have frequencies in it, including one of the fundamental frequencies that's given off by the rainforest, which is 375 hertz.
Right.
And there's a whole bunch of auspicious frequencies that then get generated out of this particular scale. So instead of using a C note to as a reference point, this 125 is a B sharp. It's an enharmonic. But that phase shift between, like, say, a 128C and a 125 B sharp is a very famous ratio in music called the Great Diesis.
Wow.
And several researchers, including Don Estes, feel that that's a relationship between actual time and imagined time, between those two, and looking for what might be a natural second of time. So we're looking at this fundamental 125 hertz, which over 3,000 people who've had their voice analyzed and analyzed in a supercomputer, everybody shared that frequency, or the octave 250 above that. And that also shows up in the Grand Gallery. It shows up in Stonehenge. There's a number of sacred sites where that frequency predominates.
Wow.
So I'm interested to see what kind of results will happen centering around an entire scale built around that resonance, because I believe the King's Chamber is trying to tell us something about resetting the matrix.
Yeah.
And it's holding this tone and saying this note's been here all along, and there's a reason for that note sticking out like that. And there's also a reason that human beings, as far as this voice analysis is concerned, share that note, and it links everybody together.
Yeah.
I think that's very profound.
That's the doorway to the hologram, basically. It's the quantum doorway. That's the way I'd look at it.
Yeah. So there's a reason that Palladian Chip uses that tone.
Yeah, I know.
So we get these...
When I do my concerts, and it just, you know, it just takes the audience, just goes out. So when I finish, when I use that sound, when I usually finish, they don't, for a couple of minutes after the thing's over and done playing, they don't move.
What qualities do you feel need to be present in the timbre when you play those tones in order to shift the consciousness or move the consciousness?
Well, I don't know what you'd call them, but they're the ones that are on my D50 that I use, that I created from that tone through what's called a D50 command program, which is archaic, but I still have it because nothing's ever been better. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I've gone into the sound registers of the D50 and looked at the way it was put together, because I created this thing in a random manner to get the sound. And you've heard the sound, right?
Yeah, I love the sound.
And so I know the setting of the instrument. So somebody needs to go into the... This is where Bob Hoover, our mutual friend, was.
Yeah.
We wanted him to go into the settings, come up with the overtone of the harmonics. And the harmonics, the root frequency is actually from the overtone. So
I think there's a key in there into exactly
yes,
what the math
is. Nobody, I haven't had time to explore it. And remember, I levitated in my laboratory. I used six of those D50s, and I still know the size of certain sounds. I took different timbres of the same sound and presented it six different ways, which in quantum in physics and the string theory would be membranes. They call it membranes, which are things that separate different parts of the hologram or different parts of the universe. I went ahead and did that, and that's how I levitated that glass, split it in half, and then dematerialized the bottom part. You know, the bottom part, which was the base of it, never was found. There was no fragments of the glass on the floor of the studio. There was only a top part. The glass was about, it was a round glass, 3 inches and 4 inches in diameter, and it's probably 15 inches tall. And there was only 7.5 inches left of it. And the other 7.5 inches at the bottom, including the bottom piece, dematerialized. And was done with those frequencies. And that's why I was hoping at some point we'd get Bob Hoover to spend some time, because he's brilliant in that work.
I've been just talking to him recently. I think we need to get on that and do that.
Well, I'll be up there next week, you know, in San Francisco at the Sound Healing Center to do what I do. So maybe we can get him to come down and join us. You know,
I mentioned that to him, because I'll be there for sure.
Yeah. By the way, Dave Gibson said there was a Bonnie Raitt, Carlos Santana concert afterwards on Saturday night. We wanted to know if we wanted to go to it or not. So I thought maybe that'd be kind of fun to go to.
Oh, that's interesting,
And then Carlos, I don't know Santana very well, but he knows about me. Because he's inquired to my friends about my work. So it'd be a kind of interesting thing for Saturday night. I'm going to go up there a day early and just hang out, goof around in San Francisco for a day.
All right.
Probably go up Thursday afternoon. Come back Sunday afternoon.
Well, it's going to be a very fun time.
Yeah.
And I'll bring up that Lam Doma chime that I made that's got 50 notes out of the whole octavized Pythagorean matrix that he taught from.
Yeah. I've got my D50 all packed up. Maybe I'll bring it along, you know. Might as well use it.
It would be good to program that whole Lam Doma frequency sound into your D50.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd have to come down here to do that, because I won't have the computer that goes with it. I use an old Arteri. Remember those computers? They were really cheap. Arteri? What were those things? The first ones that came out in the music world, they were such a cheap little thing. And that's why it's a very inexpensive setup to do what I do, this the most amazing fit. It was Atari. Yeah, that's what it was called.
Oh, Atari, yes.
Yeah. I have that little old computer down there, and it's got all the ins and outs and connections into this box, into the D50 command program. Only worked with that computer. It's such a cute little setup, but it's so powerful. You know,
a lot of people don't realize the power of tone and harmonic content and timbre. They don't realize that that's one of the main parameters for healing, not just a fundamental tone, but getting the right tone quality.
Oh, yeah. I agree. You know, I totally agree. And I want to get those wind chimes up on our website so the people out there can buy those. They aren't that expensive, and those wind chimes of yours are amazing. That's all I can say.
Allows people to have that those music of the spheres harmonics sounding in their environment.
Yeah.
You know, it's a type of sonic feng shui, you might say.
Oh, I agree.
That's why I created them, to do that, and to have those kind of harmonics, and as a reminder to remind people that they're really connected to a much bigger picture than they may be living presently.
Yeah. My experience with your wind chimes is that I've had a lot of wind chimes around here over the years, usually just string rots and they fall apart. So I've had, you know, I'd replace them. I've had bamboo wind chimes. I've had lots and lots of the metallic ones. When I heard yours, you know, they're wind chimes, they're, you know, any resonance, whatever, you know, you're going to take a bunch of tubes and make them tuned, and it sounds cool and it's nice. But when you start listening to the ones you make, it really is enchanting. It's like an enchanting feeling. It's not nice. It's comfortable, but it's deep. I like it, you know.
Thank you. And also, you know, we've discovered some interesting ways to process aluminum and make aluminum a much more rhythmic and finer qualities of energy than what aluminum normally is. Aluminum is very magic if it's processed in the right way.
Yeah, it is. It's an amphoteric element. It's fairly light, and it's very, very open to resonance. And I don't know, you probably use one of those aircraft types of aluminum, right? That has some
it's similar, but still different than that. I mean, there's a lot of companies that make things, tuning forks, whatever, out of aluminum, but they have not discovered the real magic of aluminum.
Exactly.
And there's another consciousness as a metal, like the diva of aluminum, is able to do certain things if you communicate with it much differently than other metals. I mean, close to that also is there are some other metals, but there are special qualities that aluminum has, and that's what we're dialoguing with, and why these, not only is what they're tuned to on these chimes and the tuning forks, but it's also the particular harmonic content that comes off the way we've processed the aluminum.
Yeah, so I agree. And I know that you use Hewlett-Packard spectrum analyzers, and those things aren't cheap. And the accuracy of your sound is, what, 0.001 or something?
I have them made out to a 10,000th of a hertz.
Yeah, 001.
So, and then with temperature control,
that's pretty accurate. I mean, that'll talk to your DNA. You know, the more sensitive you are to frequency, the further into the string theory you go and farther down into the DNA you go.
Absolutely. Well, to me, it's also a respect for the creation of saying, with materials and equipment and intent, we're taking this as precise as we can to hear what the Creator has to say. So when I make things that way, it's a prayer back to creation, says, I hear you and thank you.
Yeah. And
you know, even if we fail.
Randy and I have teamed up, and Paradigm will be representing his product. Do you have a phone number yet for being people calling you yet, or are you going to get one, or what's happening?
Can phone the 831-662-2594.
Okay, repeat that again.
831-662-2594.
Yeah, and contact him, and we're setting up a marketing entity to get his products out there, an educational entity to educate people, because Paradigm now has taken the stance that, yeah, Fred Bell's got a lot of inventions, but there's too many people out there that have things that totally complement what we do that we don't have, and we've got great creative geniuses like Randy Masters to create these things, and we're set up to market, and Randy Masters isn't, so we can give him more creative time by, you know, marketing his products through our company. And we appreciate it, you know, if you buy them through there, and that's his wish, not mine. It's our joint wish. So that he has more time to create better things.
And it shows a synergy of working together like a dolphin pod, and I believe that that's what creation is asking us to do.
Yeah, I believe it too, you know, and I know you complimented some of my work in my Rays of Truth book and built some of your inventions, but I know even without that book, you were well on the way anyway, so, and I know
there's so many overlaps that we have. That,
yeah, and I know you're a great professor over there at the University of Santa Cruz, too. I know you're not teaching there now, but are you doing any private sessions or anything or not?
Yes, I do, and I teach at the Community School of Music and Arts in Mountain View, where I teach composition and piano and kind of keep my hand in the regular world of music, and then various places and conferences. I'm always teaching. Every week I have things going on with teaching. I'm sort of born with that directive.
Yeah.
And that keeps me looking into things and growing all the time.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Randy, we just ran out of time. It was a quick hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
thank you so much for having me on, Fred.
Yeah, so anyhow, that's the end of the show. We've had Randy Masters on, Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, Your Key to Insanity. We'll have Randy back. Check out our website with his products. We've got a lot of stuff that we haven't put on yet. It'll be on in the upcoming weeks. And it's time for me to get on my spacecraft, and we're going to get on the spacecraft now and start that puppy up. I don't know if it's going to start or not. Where is the spacecraft?
We may have not gotten out of it.
Oh, here it comes. Oh, I guess we're going to finish up the show like we started it. Here we go. We've got a lot of stuff that we haven't put on yet. We've got a couple of weeks. And it's time to get on my spacecraft. And we're going to get on the spacecraft.